This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking today about Budget 2021, which is just around the corner. So we wanted to hone in on one promised element or vertical, and that is sustainability. So Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has announced that the government wants to focus on a green recovery pathway, which will involve low carbon measures. He says this will spur economic recovery and social well-being, and to achieve it, Malaysia can leverage on its natural resources, especially since we're one of the world's 12 mega biodiverse countries. The Prime Minister also says the government is rethinking its approach when it comes to development, citing climate change as a concern, which affects issues like food security, health and biodiversity. And he also went on to say that the MCO has given us a chance to reflect our relationship with the planet. While that has had its challenges, the environmental impact was also somewhat of an upside. We saw this reported in different cities around the world. People saw cleaner air, less noise pollution. I think for example, most recently, I believe it was in Hong Kong, they have reported seeing the return of dolphins because of the lack of ferries back and forth between the islands. So there is that. I find it interesting that we have promised this idea of sustainability because, of course, this budget is coming at a time where more than ever, bread and butter issues are of tremendous concern. I think everyone wants to know what it is that we're going to be doing and what it is that Budget 2021 is going to contain to kind of hasten us or at least get us going on the path of recovery from the year that has been. And I really enjoy the fact that sustainability seems or appears to be an important element of that, and that there is a focus on the need for growth and recovery, but also to do that with a focus on understanding that climate change and sustainability are things that we need to consider. What that's actually going to look like in practice, I think, is quite another thing. So it sounds good now. We haven't yet heard the details. So we thought, while we're in this space where anything could still happen, we wanted to hear what would be the best way of approaching this, you know, what a wish list might look like. And in order to do that, we're going to be speaking after this with Kor Yew Ling, political economist at Sergi Anam Advisors. If you'd like to share your thoughts, I mean, how do you feel about the potential focus on climate and, climate and sustainability or a green budget of sorts in Budget 2021? Are you happy to hear this? What kinds of specifics would you like to see arise from it? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is almost 7:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And we're focused now on Budget 2021 and the fact that Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin has announced that the government wants to focus on a green recovery pathway and is cognizant or, you know, is taking into account this issue of climate change amidst the push for economic recovery. If you have any thoughts on this, I mean, are you pleased that Budget 2021 may have a increased focus on sustainability? What would you like to see in line with that? You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us is Kor Yew Ling, independent political economist at Sergi Anam Advisors. Yew Ling, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, good evening.
So let's, before we talk about Budget 2021, let's look back to Budget 2020. How focused was that on addressing issues involving the environment? What were the key areas of focus? And almost a year on now, what have we achieved?
Well, if you look at the budgets, they're essentially there to help enable things to happen. So they don't really, you know, count the private sector spending and things. But, you know, within that context, if you look at the government allocations, the Pakatan Harapan budget for 2020 allocated about 1.6 billion for the Ministry of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change, MESTEC, and about 45% of that was operations and salaries, 55% on development expenditure. So I guess the eyes should be on what the 55% on DevEx did. I'm not sure whether it's that clear on the terms of accounting of what was done. The actual climate change spending is not really collated in that fashion. So I think it would be a great idea if they did provide a more specific breakdown going forward. And on the technology side, green tech, it was like 4.8 million for 2020, 3.8 million for operations of Malaysian Green Technology Corporation, a million for development spending, green tech projects. Even within the context of these being sort of trying to do catalyst or trying to encourage a bigger private sector spending, I suppose these still look a bit on the small side of things. You probably need a lot more to instigate people to act. And compliance on the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, monitoring reporting is with EPU, that's Department of Statistics Malaysia. And of course, we have our UNFCCC reporting as well, which is on climate change. And since the government change, MESTEC has been broken into two ministries. So I guess we really have to see where things lie. I mean, I was just talking to somebody from another industry and they were a bit surprised as well to see that a certain agency or units have moved. So I guess we need to check that out. So we have MOFSI under Khairi Jamaluddin, Ministry of Environment and Water under Tuan Ibrahim. So, you know, which units have moved where, I guess we'll get a lot more greater clarity, especially if they are going to focus on climate change and environment.
So I did want to look at the phrase that the Prime Minister used, which was a green recovery pathway. What do you understand of that? And are there perhaps examples that we could look to of countries that have done something like this?
Well, it's quite interesting. If you look at the EU, you know, Malaysia loves to hate the EU because as an exporter, we are facing their green recovery plan, which is this whole, farm to fork sustainability. And obviously, there is a major industrial push for sustainable. So they're trying to streamline what the metrics are. And then, as an exporter, we're facing that and we're seeing that, oh, it increases our cost. So I guess that's that perspective. But then if you look at it from a domestic perspective, I'm not sure why, but recently, or at least this morning, it was like, oh, you know, EVs and e-vehicles. A lot of people are talking about it recently. So you have Singapore that's getting investment from Hyundai. Malaysia didn't get it, unfortunately, because, you know, they're pushing on autonomous vehicle. And, you know, Grab has a big role there. They're going to majorly into e-vehicles or EVs. And even Indonesia is talking about doing a lot of EVs. And, of course, Bangkok, policymakers there, are really pushing on this because, they are a major vehicle exporting manufacturing hub for the region. I think Malaysia kind of lost out to them because of policy decisions made during the Mahathir, well, not the recent, but the previous Mahathir administration. Unfortunately, we kind of lagged on these things. So can we then leap forward? And then, of course, there's implications because if you want to do things like do e-vehicles, which are going to create a lot of jobs, right? Because, you know, installing more green sort of solar technology on factory roofs and things, whether you're going to move to e-vehicles, are you going to phase out the petrol diesel in towns because that's going to reduce your pollution as well. So there's all sorts of things which could happen. And of course, you know, some sectors will not like for some of these things to happen as well. They don't like to see the cost going up. They don't like to see their market share changing. So it's always going to be a bit of a tussle, I feel. But it's fascinating to look at that because if you look at a lot of the urban jobs and the interest that the young people have, I mean, I think we can even see the rise of interest in climate issues among Malaysians, concern about pollution. I mean, that's so much in the forefront because of the water pollution and what happened in the Johor side, near Pasir Gudang. So I think people are quite increasingly sensitized to these things. Can we not grow greener? And can sectors actually be, catalysts for this?
And I guess the other thing, we touched on Budget 2020, which was announced by the previous administration. Do we know what Perikatan Nasional's approach has been like in terms of furthering or developing these environmental policies? And do we perhaps have any indication of, therefore, what might appear in this year's budget?
Well, I think the preoccupation with COVID-19 has been really overshadowed a lot of things. I think even at the corporate level, even the broad industry policies, like you were mentioning earlier as well, where different units have been shuffled to, especially with regard to MOSFI, that has actually, well, not to say caught people by surprise, but they were like, oh, okay, it's not under this ministry. I thought it was under that ministry. So I think we need to settle in on that, especially once the whole, the crisis and the companies grappling with that and even with the loan moratoriums are passed. I think the eyes are really not quite on it yet. Mm. I don't think there's been much money on the environment either, for obvious reasons, because even for the COVID measures, it's been a challenge.
So I wanted to pick up also on what you mentioned earlier, water, which is, I think, kind of newsworthy at the moment because we are again seeing water cuts in Selangor. How can the budget address this, through addressing issues of water security and pollution? Will it fall or will it be under the purview of the budget to be able to do anything about this?
No, definitely the budget, can direct things. Obviously, it has to. It should be looking at water supply. Do we need more dams? So, you might have development expenditure there, even if we do public-private partnerships. The budget will have a role in addressing this. What about water treatment plants? Do we need to increase the water reserve supply margin? Some people tell me that it should go to 5 to 10%. They think it's quite low, maybe 2 to 3% only. So you can see how it's impacting places like Selangor quite frequently. And then, of course, there's the preventive, right? What about fixing all those leaky pipes, water theft? All these non-revenue water losses, these are estimated at 10 to 20% of total water supply. And really importantly as well, how do you enforce and prevent toxic waste dumping into our rivers? Maybe you have to put GPS onto every truck. I think we do see measures being made in certain sectors, led by government agencies that, yes, we're going to GPS track every truck. What about doing chemical stock audits on every factory? They should have a clear explanation of everything that goes in and goes out, right? From what they report on going in and going out, you can figure out, whether there's a problem. And that can be very preventive and gather the data on that. What about closing down illegal factories? And what about building more toxic chemical treatment facilities to bring down the cost of proper disposal? It's just very awkward, when you raise this topic with industry people and then they start pointing fingers and saying that, chemical waste disposal is a problem. How can this be a systemic problem and an answer? You need to really reduce all this illegal dumping and if Perikatan is going to do anything, this is obviously one of the priorities as well, especially places like Pasir Gudang, where's the holistic planning? One of the things that I realized when we helped companies to look at, whether it was setting up a new factory in China, this is years ago, but, it was always the case like, you want to set up a factory in this industrial park, but is there enough quota for you to discharge your waste? And now China is, going super green. The water that's going to be emitted from their factories are going to be, pretty high quality sort of wastewater, very high quality. And if Malaysia is going to get foreign direct investment that is going to be not green and attract the people because of low environmental standards here, then it's going to be, increasing problem that the local population is going to face.
And what are some other avenues that the budget could explore to encourage or incentivize companies to adopt sustainable practices?
Well, I think one of the key things that is really lacking is metrics, right? Metrics meaning data and information about where we are right now. Because you really should have a reward system, you should have an awards event, and you should have a matrix of good practices, reporting, green badge seal. And, you know, you can reward people with tax breaks and, you know, and specific incentives, you know, CAPEX breaks or import duty breaks for now while we fill in local capacity to do these things. But you also need to, you know, be able to point out laggards. Maybe you don't want to name them, but, I mean, we should have at the national level our data, state and district level. How about green metrics for those ratings? What about cities and towns? And then, you know, within sectors, companies, I mean, it's not really rocket science to be able to say that, report that, you know, this industry compared to, you know, say people in Vietnam, how are we rating against manufacturing in Vietnam? I think it's going to come down to that sort of thing. What's our range of good practices and the laggards? You may want to name the good ones. You might be a bit shy to name the laggards, but you should show what are the, you know, the poor performers so that they know who they are and they can fix the situation. And especially in the export game as well, how do we rate on ESG? How do we rate on, you know, people, importers want to know what is your carbon emission per ton product or whatever measure. And now we're even getting questions on, you know, do we have forced labour?
And from a personal standpoint, are there specific things that you would like to see included in Budget 2021 when it comes to this large umbrella of sustainability?
Well, if I just drill down a little bit more, well, not to say narrowly, but specifically, I guess, I think there is a real need for a carbon tax mechanism so that the large emitters can start to be measured on what is their emission. And we might start with a very low sort of carbon tax to collect some money and get people used to the measurement and the reporting, and then you can expand this over time. And, you know, this is done elsewhere as well. And this can start low. It's a bit like having a GST system, I guess, right? You have to start somewhere to measure and to charge. And, you know, they should be looking at our coastal situation. Coastal erosion, you know, the impact of sand mining is all these land reclamations. Are they really going to stand up the test of time, the test of tide and time? And also very specifically, I mean, on our agriculture and the quality of our produce, how about promoting organic and sustainable farming for our own food security? You know, we have a lot of B40 people, B40 families in schools that might need a school feeding program. You know, you could be serving them up organic, high-grade Malaysian farm produce to stabilize our own food supply and, you know, encourage our export industry.
And we have just about a minute left, Yuling. With the messaging that's currently coming out from the government, are you optimistic that you're going to see some of your wish list included, or at least, you know, a strong, sustainable thrust within Budget 2021?
Well, certainly hope so, because I think when we're sort of scratching around for what's going to be an economic driver, although there is a lot of scepticism within Malaysia because, you know, there are a lot of people who regard this as some sort of, you know, neo-colonial approach by the Western countries, I think the reality is that you can actually find green shoots and opportunities for new economic subsectors to come in. So is it going to be a tussle between the old and the new, or, you know, trying to guide existing players on how they can retool and export more? So it'll be good to see if there's guidance on that. And knowing Malaysian industries, they will talk a lot about dollars and cents. So the issue of grants and incentives will be really, really at the forefront. If this doesn't come through and we don't really have, you know, the carrots and sticks of the measurements and also the, you know, showing the poor performance, maybe not so overtly, that's not our style, but to be able to frighten people with, oh gosh, you know, you might be at the bottom of the pile there. with this awareness, right? They need a certain amount of awareness, and I think we need to have the competitive analysis with people like Vietnam and elsewhere. Then maybe people will get excited, right? It's like, oh gosh, maybe I didn't realize I was performing like this, and I'm really falling behind. And then the government's going to give me incentives and things to help me get to the next level.
Yuling, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening.
Thank you.
That was Kaw Yuling, independent political economist at Sergi Anam Advisors, weighing in on the environmental push that we might see in Budget 2021. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.